ESPN 107.3 presents the Mid-Mo Smoke Show with expert advice from the pitmaster, Lyle Quast, owner of the Ring of Fire Barbecue in Sullivan on ESPN 107.3.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 in beautiful Rolla, Missouri. I am your host, the pitmaster, Lyle Quast, owner and operator of Ring of Fire Barbecue Food Truck and Catering Company in Sullivan, Missouri. As usual, in the studio is my co-host and producer and this weekend traveling partner, Colin Fisher. You can join me every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on Midmo's ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com to listen to any of our previous shows. You got something you'd like to add? Give us a call at 573-364-1045 or text us at 573-BBQ-BBQ-9. And this weekend in the barbecue world, it is better than any royal wedding, more tastier than anything you'll ever find at the wedding, because this weekend is the American Royal in Kansas City, and Colin and I are going to be traveling up there later on to talk to some of the cooks and everything.
Yeah, bother some of them.
Sure, why not? See, we can't get some free samples, you know. There ain't no sense buying food when you got all that surrounding you.
Oh, of course.
And we're actually gonna interview some of the top teams or any of the teams that actually want to talk to us.
Yeah, we won't be picky.
No. If they want to sit down and talk to us, we're gonna be very happy.
Yeah.
And we're gonna play these back later on, you know, as the year progresses. So
try to bring some of the royal home with us.
Absolutely. And I am so excited. I've talked a lot about wanting to go up there. This is the first time I'm going to get to go up there. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully we don't shame the Mid-Mo Smoke Show name.
Hopefully we don't shoot ourselves in the foot before we even get started.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. Yeah, you know. But I think we're going to have a lot of fun. I'm excited, Colin. This is his first one to go to, too. And so let's see what we can do, you know, up there. And so... But Colin has come up with a real interesting subject today, and it was something that I had not thought of until he brought it up. So,
well, in the barbecue world, you can constantly hear barbecue being referred to as a science and an art, and either one or the other or both at the same time. And, you know, anyone in any sort of culinary discipline will probably tell you the same thing, that there's obviously a lot of science that goes into it.
Right.
You're dealing with heat and chemicals and that sort of stuff. So there is sort of the fundamental science to it. But most people will agree that if you approach it from a purely scientific vantage point, you're not going to have much success because there's some human element that goes into it. You know, like we can get a computer that'll make a really accurate rendition or just a photograph or something,
right?
But there's something about a brilliant painter that just can't be captured. So that's where the art to the science comes in. And there are a number of people, you know, you've got the guy, they call him the professor, and
Tough Stone.
Well, heck, and even Matt Glenn, when he's doing brisket or pork or something, if he's doing stuff, he has three different iterations going and he's writing down, all right, I used this rub on this sauce
right.
on this, and he's experimenting and going about it incredibly scientifically to try to not so much scientifically perfect it, but to be able to go back and look at what was it that he did that gave him the best results.
Try to replicate it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So sort of standardizing the barbecue. So I figured what we could do is kind of look at this dichotomy of the science and the art of barbecue. And so first, I found this article, and that's what got me onto this train of thought. I figured we'd hit the science, and there's this team out of, where are they? They're in New England from, I believe, Cambridge, Massachusetts, and they're called IQ Barbecue, and the idea is IQ. That's what I do. And they are Andy Husbands and Chris Hart, and they are a software engineer and a chef. And so it's, you typically don't hear about a software engineer
right
who's getting into the barbecue world, but they actually have made quite a splash. They're from New England, and they're sort of, the title of this article is called "The Yankees Who Brought Science to the Barbecue World." And so when you think of barbecue, the locales that come to mind probably don't include Windsor, Vermont, but there are thousands of enthusiasts who descended on this hilly, wooded enclave on the banks of the Connecticut River in late July for the 18th annual Harpoon Brewery Barbecue Festival. This slice of rural New England is central to what barbecue has become, a national pastime, reaching beyond its celebrated southern origins. So this does highlight how barbecue really has spread, and it's sort of beginning to permeate into these obviously new markets and industries. And
well, yeah, because when you think of New England, you don't think barbecue. You're thinking maple syrup, lobster, you know, stuff like that. So
certainly. So basically, what these guys are most well known for is bringing science into barbecue. And what they do is they take an incredibly scientific approach to this. He said, "Mr. Hart spent the next weekend building a barbecue lab in his driveway with computers arranged to keep track of the variables involved in creating perfect smoked meat, fire temperature, air temperature, flipping, turning. Day after day, he cooked, took down the numbers, and then cooked again. He also began to peruse internet discussion boards. It was one of these boards, the Smoke Ring, that he befriended a former food scientist named Joe Ames. Ames had been developing an injection made up of phosphates, hydrolytes, nitrates, bouillons, and other umami flavors. He called this injection FAB, Food Additive Barbecue, and it could be tailored for pork, beef, or chicken. Mr. Hart discovered that the injection acted as a binding agent at the molecular level, allowing meat to keep its integrity and moisture and giving it extraordinary tenderness."
You know, it sounds like a lot of work to just go out and have fun.
Right. And so, you know, for a software engineer, this is fun. Sort of stuff. So approaching this and seeing, all right, can we make it better? What is actually going on? Because there are people that when they barbecue, they can tell you exactly what you need to do and how long to cook something.
But yeah, they do.
And then, but they couldn't tell you what, like, anatomical feature is happening. They know that when you cook this and you have this side down or something like that, it tastes good. They don't know that, you know, certain fat bindings are separating and that kind of stuff, and
yeah,
they don't need to. But
there's no way I could tell you any of that.
Sure. But there are other people that understand sort of the biology and the tissue anatomy of things that can approach something from a bit more of an analytical standpoint. And while one is not necessarily better than the other, the collaboration of the two can result in some really interesting and often promising results. So the third innovation came by accident. While traveling to a barbecue competition in Maryland, the partner spent the weekend cooking and talking with an enthusiast nicknamed Shotgun Fred. It turned out that Fred Perkle, his real name, was a brilliant engineer who had founded a company called Barbecue Guru. He created a complex system integrating a fan with a computer CPU, and it could be attached to a smoker. The fan stoked the smoker's fire, slowing down or speeding up depending on the temperatures the CPU was reading from the ambient air. So it's not unlike a pellet smoker that has just an auger that'll feed in the pellets, except that this one, you're burning a more traditional type of wood or sticks or something like that, and the fan will essentially try to control the flame externally, and you could add this on to theoretically any smoker.
Well, you know, they actually have that out right now too. I don't know if you ever heard of the Big Green Egg.
Right.
They've got a little fan that goes to the bottom, and when you need heat in there, it kicks on, fans the coals, brings the heat up, and then when it's up to temperature, it shuts back off.
Yeah. And so the other thing in doing a bit of research, and I did quite a bit for this show, is I found what they call meat glue. And it's commonly used in the food industry and cooking. And it's an enzyme called transglutaminase. And what it does is it creates protein bonds that are pretty much permanent within meat. So you can essentially take different parts of meat and put them together. So a lot of restaurants will do this. They'll take a few smaller steaks, you literally glue it together with this transglutaminase, and then you have a larger piece of meat.
Oh, I did not know that stuff existed.
Right. Well, apparently it's also really good at keeping chicken skin in place.
Oh, really?
Right. So that was where these guys from IQ found the use for it. So it's one of those things that a lot of purists look at this and they're just kind of like, oh, that's heresy, and it's, you don't take an enzyme and that kind of stuff. You cook your meat and that sort of stuff. But on the other end, it's how far can this go? And I think you sort of enter the question of, like, coulda versus shoulda. Scientists oftentimes will find something like, oh, we could do this, but should you? And is it really a good idea?
Well, I'll tell you what, from being a competition cooker, what you just said there about being able to glue the chicken skin,
yep.
If I could glue that to a thigh where it wouldn't come off,
mm-hmm.
man, I could be a hero real quick.
Right, so that's the interesting thing is, do you still consider it, because there are a lot of people that are very, very much barbecue purists, and the more
right.
you tamper with stuff, you know, it's no longer barbecue. So would they still consider it barbecue? You know, how much can you go in and sort of play God with the meat?
Well, yeah, and I'm like you, how fair would it be if somebody did not know that this existed, where, and one team comes in and they're, you know, like, say their brisket is overdone. They hit it with that meat glue, it's not going to fall apart.
Certainly.
So that brings all the, you know,
right,
to a different level there.
Right. It's one of those that, well, and I mean, you and Sarah spent how many years? 9 years working on your rub?
And it's 10 years this year.
Yeah, 10 years working on a rub. Well,
right.
Well, that's a scientific process. You're going through and you're doing different experiments and you're trying different things, but you're just mixing different things together, and that's recipe development. So you're not, you know, in a lab with
right.
a centrifuge spinning a bunch of stuff around, but...
No, mine was taste buds is what worked, you know, how the smoke reacted with the spices and everything else, and... You know, I'm not saying I wouldn't have appreciated this. I got a little more pride in
certainly.
What, you know,
yeah, it's one of those that spending a whole bunch of years in the kitchen versus a few hours in a lab, it's a different experience. And you know what we forgot to mention is that this first segment of the Mid-Mo Smoke Show is brought to you by Peterson Oil and Asphalt, family-owned and filling propane in Sullivan and surrounding areas since 1934. You can now pre-order your propane, and working with Peterson Oil is a blast.
And we apologize for that. We're just so excited about the Royal going on
yeah,
this weekend,
know.
And we kind of lost our head. So we apologize for that, guys.
Yeah.
I think right now we're going to take a quick commercial break. And coming up in segment two, we're going to continue with this scientific way of cooking and see what we come up with. So make sure you stay tuned with ESPN 107.3. You're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Quast, and we'll be right back.
Now, the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3.
I am starving. I haven't had lunch since yesterday.
Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3. This segment is brought to you by Huddle House in Cuba, home of the Huddle Up Rewards Program. Huddle up and hurry into the Cuba Huddle House. Today, any meal, anytime. And,
So we left off talking about this IQ barbecue team
right.
up in New England. And so they've come across a couple of interesting innovations and applying the scientific process to barbecue. But there are another group, or there are several groups, but one that particularly came to mind are these students from Harvard. And this actually became a class project. They've built a smoking robot. It's more or less a very interesting looking smoker. It looks very sci-fi, and it has a number of computers on board to, let's see, it's 300 pounds. It has a refueling chute built into the side of it, and it uses a proportional integral derivative controller, a Raspberry Pi, and fans to regulate its own temperature, automatically producing an ideal slow and low burn.
Now, what is a Raspberry Pi?
It's basically a very small computer.
Oh, okay.
Right. It's a Raspberry and then Pi, as in the Greek letter.
Oh, okay, because that was not what came to mind.
No,
You know, I'm thinking, all right, get dessert all in one.
Yeah, it's probably the most delicious sounding computer. But it was part of a design team, and I've taken classes like this. Now, we didn't build a barbecue smoker, but it was essentially a complicated little machine that pushed a button.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I mean, that all sounds great, and I think, it's probably coming, you know, in a science age and everything. But I like the aspect of having the human error in there.
Sure. Well, the interesting thing is here is what went into their development process. The Harvard barbecue team spent 880 man hours cooking 220 pounds of brisket over the course of, I believe, from January to May, so a semester.
They were eating good.
Oh, yeah. And they actually, and this I had never heard of with all my engineering, they simulated some virtual brisket. They basically, instead of just, going through 220 pounds of brisket, which that's
expensive, too.
It's a pretty penny. But they were using computer simulations and all sorts of stuff. So they spent all sorts of time just trying to figure out, all right, what is the ideal algorithm for getting this brisket right? And so that led me to this other post about a guy named Travis Jacobs, and what he was doing was, obviously, wind can play a role in smoking. So
yes,
whether it's coming through the inlets, the outlets, or something, that can create a bit of a vortex, and it'll dissipate your smoke and kind of affect your flavor. So he was trying to figure out if there was a design for a smoker that could smoke, perfectly in all weather conditions, so the wind would not be a factor. And so he initially started using computational fluid dynamics simulations, so designing in AutoCAD and things like that. But the problem that he found was that the dimensions weren't parametric. So if you wanted to change one thing, you had to change everything. So you couldn't make something longer or shorter. You had to sort of start from square one, so it would take him weeks to create a new iteration. But there's a company called Ansys, and they do all sorts of simulations and those sorts of things, and now he could do a new smoker in about 5 minutes, and what they could do is simulate the wind, the air, the fluid dynamics. And so I've got their website pulled up here. They've got interactive geometry, interactive physics. There's, you can do structural analysis, internal fluid analysis, so fluid being the air,
right,
light weighting, thermal analysis, external aerodynamics, modal analysis. And so what you could essentially do is model your smoker in a computer, give it a set of different circumstances or parameters, and it'll show you exactly what parts are getting hot, how the air is flowing, that sort of stuff. So if you're willing to, if you've got the expertise and you sit down and put the time into it, now you can go about and build a smoker from the ground up and go through an entire cook just on your computer.
You know, I can just see it coming. They're going to come up with a new video game. It's going to be, the Walking Dead barbecue show.
I'm just waiting for, Smoker Hero.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. Just,
I wonder how hard it is to get on there. You know, they get that EA Madden.
Yeah.
Where they got these guys. Maybe we can get one out where they got you and me on there. We're cooking.
That would be interesting, a barbecue video game.
But, I mean, all this, and it's amazing how people, number one, came up with the idea.
Right.
It's still hard to tell because as long as I've been doing it, I know they got all the variables and everything set in. But tasting it and stuff like that, you still got to do that.
Right. So that's the thing where who knows. And And I'd be interested to see, like, all right, let's throw a brisket in this thing and let's set it, you know, outside on a cold day or something like that, see how it does, and then compare that to your brisket or Matt's brisket or something like that and just see, you know, does it compare? And I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, going into the Tater Patch versus into Burger King.
Right.
It's going to be, like, Burger King, it's the same burger every single time.
Oh, absolutely.
It's going to taste identical. But then you go into Tater Patch, and you get a bit of a nuance.
What's neat, though, is are they going to use Yummy Tummy or K-Cass for the barbecue sauce, and how does that vary into the add into the variables?
Right. So, you know, the number of variables and those sorts of things that you quickly start going towards just an infinite number.
Oh, absolutely.
An infinite complexity. And so I think the next step is going to be, you know, artificial intelligence and machine learning and things like that, so that essentially you get a computer that can somehow simulate end-to-end a barbecue cook, and it can simulate the meat, the temperature, the conditions, the somehow simulate the flavor, somehow quantify those things, and then have some sort of algorithm for feedback and incentives to make, you know, either the best tasting or the most tender or something like that, and go through 1,000 iterations before it gives you, and it could just print out a list of, all right, use this rub, this sauce, this, you know, this wood for this long and that kind of stuff.
Right.
I'd be interested to see if we could just get a program that generates recipes.
Well, hey, here's a warning for Josh then out there at Yummy Tummy. Get ready. They're going to do their, virtual reality smoker.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to come up with a new sauce to make that make.
Well, I think what he needs to do is, you know, leverage this to his advantage and try to figure out, like, all right, what are the properties, either chemical or physical or whatever, that I'm going after in my sauce, run through a simulation, and it won't give him, you know, the exact recipe off the bat, but it'll let him have a place to start.
To tweak it and stuff.
Right, and he can say, all right, let's try this. And you talk about virtual reality. There's this group doing 3D visualization and virtual reality in animal science. So this is mostly for stuff like 4-H and animal husbandry, that sort of stuff. But they take a 3D scanner and they scan a piece of meat. And then in virtual reality, you can, like, go in and look at it. And so I'm looking right now at this, like, 3D interactive file of a brisket bone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd be interested to see, like, let's say you're going to order a brisket from some company or whatever, and you want to see what it's like. Well, then you can inspect the cut of meat just from home and that sort of stuff. And just, I'm waiting for the day that somebody gets a system that consists of, like, space heaters, fans, all this sort of stuff, to where you can stand in your living room and virtually cook a barbecue competition or something like that.
Or have the smell, at least.
That, I think, would be the biggest hurdle, is the aromatics to it.
Well, you know, they're talking about developing smell-o-vision, so, you know.
Yeah, well, it's that's a big industry. There are people that make a lot of money. All they do, they're chemists, and they just go through and try to figure out some chemical that'll smell a certain way.
Well, I think they ought to, you know, these big perfume companies, you know, these Chanel and all them, they ought to develop one that, you know, does smell like hickory smoke or whatever.
Sure.
You know what?
Well, heck, my dad always says, like, to heck with cologne. He just goes out on the backyard and stands in the smoke coming off his smoker.
And I mean, when it smells good enough, people are going to follow you.
Yeah.
So.
And so it's just interesting all the different ways that you can bring barbecue into the science world or vice versa. And so the question does become, will a cook that was simulated out and then run on a robot and all that kind of stuff become, you know, the household standard? Will it sort of?
I think it's got possibilities.
Certainly, because imagine you know, because one of the things is smoking takes so long.
Right.
Now imagine, you know, a couple days in advance, oh, I want this, and all you got to do is buy the piece of meat, put it in there, you hit a button, and then you wait, and 24 hours later, you've got this low and slow, perfect cooked brisket, those sorts of things. So I wonder how it'll stack up to actual barbecue, and I'd be interested to see somebody, you know, enter a robot into a competition.
Well, you know, here's what I'm going to look at. You remember in the old days, the TV dinners, they were all aluminum foil. You had to cook them in the oven.
Sure.
Now they're making them where you can do them in the microwave.
Of course.
So, you know, anything is possible. I hope they don't mess with it too much because, like I said, I'm a traditionalist. We talked about that earlier.
Right. Well, and it's sort of like, you know, the transmission in your car. There's no doubt that, you know, a dual-clutch transmission, an automatic transmission's going to perform better. It's going to have better fuel economy.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be more efficient, all that kind of stuff. But they've yet to make an automatic transmission that can replace the fun of driving a manual.
Oh, absolutely. And that is fun. So,
it's just, I think barbecue will still remain a sport, but I'd be interested to see how it'll co-evolve with this. Because it's not like it's some sort of staple that's going to be replaced. And not everyone's, having smoked brisket for every meal.
Not everybody's going to be able to afford it either.
Certainly. So,
you know, it's like,
all right, here's the exciting part for me. Now imagine if you could have a barbecue restaurant, something like Bandanas, that uses one of these that gets it as close to, you know, mass-producing competition barbecue as possible.
That could put a whole new spin on things. There's no doubt about it. Because you know once you go to that restaurant, then it's going to be exactly the same as what you ate last time. But actually, that's kind of fun, part of the fun of dining out, too. You don't know what you're going to get. I guess we're going to take another quick break here. And coming up in segment three, we're going to be talking about what's going on in the barbecue society around us. So make sure you keep your dial right here on ESPN 107.3. You're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Quast, and we'll be right back.
This is the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3.
For weeks afterwards, there are flecks of meat in my mustache, and I refuse to clean it because every now and then, a piece of meat will fall into my mouth.
Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com. I am your host, Lyle Quast, along with Colin Fisher. And what's going on in the barbecue society in our area? This is sponsored by Cowtown USA in Cuba. Your next UTV and ATV is only one click away at CowtownUSAInc.com. And like we talked about at the first of the show, Colin, the major thing that's going on this weekend is the American Royal.
Yep. And that's not even, you know, we talk about the barbecue societies around us. It doesn't matter where you are. This is something worth checking out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it is worth the trip. But this weekend, we actually do have a smaller competition. I guess smaller is obvious. Called the Jesse James Barbecue Cookout in Kearney, Missouri. It's going to be a $5,025 prize money. It's listed as a state championship. So I don't know if this is one you, like, go and cook this and then, like, run over to the Royal if you can or something.
Well, I mean, you could. Actually, you could if you were doing the open. But
right, so it wouldn't make sense to do this for the Invitational because you'd miss it.
Yeah, because they're going to be cooking on Saturday.
Right.
But this invitation, since it's a state competition,
I guess
it'll qualify you for next year for the Royal.
About the earliest you could, I guess.
Yeah.
So then the 22nd and 23rd, we have Table Rock Boats and Bones in Kimberling, Missouri. I think we talked about this a little while ago. It's
right.
A $7,000 prize money, but that just sounds fun. Cause,
it does.
You know, boating's fun, barbecue's fun. Put them together and
I think they all ought to do it on a boat.
Right.
Making them even more challenging.
I'm sure that's only mildly dangerous. And we have there is a canceled competition. And, that was Bunny and Rich's competition. So,
yeah.
I guess they got a weekend off. But then the 28th and 29th, we'll have Smoking in the Golden Valley in Clinton, Missouri. And that's a $5,000 prize money. So these are all through KCBS, but that's what you've got to look forward to in terms of barbecue. But Lyle and I have got the Royal.
Absolutely. And we're going to be there. And I am so looking forward. And, you know, one thing, when you were talking about what's going on, I remember when I started doing competitions, if you had $2,500 to maybe $3,000, you were doing good.
Sure.
You know, for a competition. Now they're up to $7,000 to $10,000 payout.
Sure.
And if you're good, it could be a lucrative little business.
Well, and I think what a lot of businesses, companies, what have you, are starting to realize is the sort of robustness of the barbecue community as a demographic market.
Right.
And you want to be the advertiser that's getting in their face at the competition, because I can't think of people that would be more brand loyal, especially if it comes to
absolutely.
Barbecue, than these competition cooks.
You're exactly right. And, you know, there was something you said earlier, last segment, about barbecue being a sport.
Sure.
Now, I know there's people out there going to say, what does it take to do a barbecue? You stand there and look at meat. Okay, you stay up for 24 hours working your brain, making sure everything is in line, getting everything turned in, and sometimes you are running to get to the turn-in line.
See, and I would love to see someone try to incorporate an obstacle course on the way to the turn-in.
Oh, my gosh. I'd hate to see them turn in boxes by the time they got there then.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, you got to turn in by 11, but you also got to run through some tires on the way.
Yeah, or and then slide underneath these nets and, you know. But, I mean, in your traditional sense, no, there's never going to be a Olympics for barbecue. But I guess there is. You know, it's called the Royal. And yeah. So, you know, any argument you want to make against it, I can make one for it.
See, and that's one of the other things is, because obviously there's more than just barbecue going on. You got all these sorts of people coming together. There's quite a bit of partying.
Oh, yeah.
I would imagine some drinking, perhaps.
Oh, quite a bit.
But, you know, there's probably plenty else going on. There's always entertainment, something happening. There was one competition. We did a live remote, and they had ESPN 107.3 streaming on the speakers, and everyone was just listening to our coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So that gets me to wondering what sort of, you know, businesses you see on Shark Tank every now and then or something where it's, you know, like I said, an obstacle course or it's some new sport or something like that. What sort of business could you get into where you just travel around hauling a trailer full of whatever and you set it up at a barbecue competition, so while people are sitting there cooking and whatnot, they got something to do. So the obvious thing, like at any carnival, you see for the kids a bounce house, something like that. But I've seen somebody brought a portable rock climbing wall to the S&T campus and people could just line up and do it. And so I don't know what sort of barbecue-themed ideas, and I'd be interested to hear from our viewers. You can text in to 573-227-2279. That's 573-BBQ-BBQ-9-BBQ-BBQ.
There's no telling what we're going to come up with.
Because you could get real creative with that, like, I don't know, like a rib bone toss or something like that.
Well, you want to know, I have seen it at competitions. I've seen it on TV, too. There's a guy out there. He's got a dog.
Okay.
And when you get done cooking your pork butt, you take the bone out there and just toss it out there. And I think he has an 83% success rate of picking the winner.
Wow.
That he goes over and picks up the shoulder bone out of pork butt. And whichever one he picks, there's 83% chance you're going to win.
Interesting.
So, you know, there's... What kind of games of chance can you come up with?
See, certainly. See, I would sit there and I would coat mine in like some kibble or something like that.
Or beef fat.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, pick mine.
But that reminded me, with the World Cup, there was apparently an octopus in, I want to say, Japan, that they just put it in a tank and put the logos of all the teams around it, and it would swim over. And apparently, like, three games in a row, it predicted the winner.
No kidding.
But then on the fourth one, it got it wrong, so they ate it.
Well, either way, it was a good time.
Right. It's just like, man, talk about a high-pressure job.
And talk about, you know, job insecurity.
Yeah. But...
And there's all kinds of things, you know. That's like they got this elephant that picks a winner for the Super Bowl.
Sure.
You know, it's just whatever people want to do. And if you want to see how some crazy bets go, go to Vegas and see what they're betting on.
Yeah, you can get a line on just about anything.
Yeah, who's going to get the first hangnail and everything else. But
I remember it was a couple of years ago, I was doing some stuff with the sports show, and we were just looking at all the stuff that people bet on at Vegas. And there's, you know, an over-under on how long the national anthem's going to be. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just, and the amount of money that changes hand just at the coin toss. Holy cow.
Well, I'll bet you right now with the Royal this weekend, I'll bet you can call Vegas and get a line on who's going to win. And
I'd love to see the odds.
Oh, I would too.
All that kind
yeah.
of stuff.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, because well, how do you handicap a barbecue competition?
That's rough. And I mean, you know, it would be really neat. And especially, I like to see the names that are up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to see who's how many we actually recognize. Because, you know, since we've been doing this, or I have been, I've learned a lot more names and stuff like that. To see, you know, it would really, really be interesting. And then let them know, hey, here, you're up by this many. You're the favorite, or you're 3-1 to win and
yeah,
stuff like
that. You can
like
do some online polling, that sort
oh,
of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Make a barbecue idol.
Either that or just mess them up during the competition, you know. So,
yeah, I'd love to see a live scoreboard or something.
Oh, I would too, yeah.
Because I imagine if you just got, you know, some mobile webcams or something and stuck it on the, like, the corner of a tent or something that somebody's got set up and you just had live coverage, because, heck, they've got live coverage of video game tournaments
yeah.
nowadays. I imagine you could get quite the barbecue event coverage going.
Make a whole new meaning to the word shiggin', that's for sure.
You know? Yeah, that would definitely be interesting. They'd probably direct it like just shy of
yeah, that's it. You gotta turn the camera while I slice my beef or pull my yeah. pork or whatever, you know. But like I said, I'm really looking forward to this weekend. I'm excited about it. It's probably going to be an experience we're going to talk about for a long time.
Oh, certainly. You know, and I'll finally have something I can fall back on when we're talking about stuff. Because it seems like whenever you and Matt are talking about something or anything like that, it's always falling back to some sort of common experience with barbecue. Whereas I'm sitting there like, yeah, I've heard a lot about it.
Yeah, well, this weekend you're going to experience. And Colin, I've been to some big cooks, but nothing like this. And even with my experience, I go into it's jaw-dropping to me. You know, and so I guess we're going to take another break. Make sure you don't go anywhere, because when we come back, Colin has got a great recipe of the week for you. So you're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com. I'm Lyle Quast, and we'll be right back.
The Mid-Mo Smoke Show. Expert advice on becoming the best barbecue cook or fabricator you know on ESPN 107.3.
The whole point of this country is if you want to eat garbage, balloon up to 600 pounds, and die of a heart attack at 43, you can. You are free to do so. To me, that's beautiful.
Welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I am your host, Lyle Quast, and this segment of our show is brought to you by Wind Supply of Rolla in Rolla, offering the best prices and selection on Traeger pellet cookers and Milwaukee tools. That's Wind Supply of Rolla, located on Twitty Drive in Rolla. And it is now time for this week's recipe of the week, brought to you by Timber Charcoal, making outstanding hardwood lump charcoal for over 40 years, and it is available at Cox Brothers in St. James. And like I said, Colin, we were trying to pick out a recipe for a royalty, and I think you came up with a dandy.
Yeah, this was something, you know, we talk about Kansas City, Kansas KCBS, the sort of style of barbecue, and obviously burnt end comes to mind. And, you know, whenever you look for a burnt ends recipe, you're going to see pretty much the same thing across the board. But I did find one that was a unique take on burnt ends, and it is called pork belly bacon burnt ends. And it sounds pretty good.
If it's got pork, you know it's going to be good.
It said, get ready for legit pork candy with these smoky, sweet, and saucy pork belly burnt ends under a truly salivating-inducing picture. So you're going to need about 4 to 5 pounds of pork belly. 6 tablespoons of hardcore carnivore red seasoning is what this recipe calls for. 1 cup of barbecue sauce, so you're going to throw some yummy tummy in there.
Yep.
Then there are 3 tablespoons of honey, 3 tablespoons of butter cut into chunks, and it's 5 steps. You heat a smoker to 250 Fahrenheit. You cut the belly into 1.5-inch cubes and season liberally with your, they say, hardcore carnivore red, making sure all sides are coated. You place the belly cubes onto a wire rack and place this into the smoker. Cook for 2 hours. You remove the cubes from the rack and place into a large foil pan, large enough so they are spread out in a single layer. Pour over your barbecue sauce and honey and stir so the cubes are coated. You dot some butter over the top of the pork, then cover the pan with foil and return to the smoker for another 1.5 hours. You remove the foil and allow the cubes to cook a further 30 minutes so the sauce can thicken and caramelize. And the results, they look pretty
good. Yeah, it just sounds good. I'm sitting here thinking about it. See them little cubes of bacon sitting there, basically, because that's pork belly.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, just bring it on.
Yeah, just sit there, you pop them in your mouth like potato chips.
You know, that was that one introduction we got for one of our segments. I don't want a little of it. I want all of it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the day to go.
Yeah.
You know, I have a side dish maybe of macaroni and cheese, maybe some baked beans in there. Oh, mm-hmm. It wouldn't get much better than that.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that was one thing we were talking about earlier. We're going to go up to the Royal. I'm pretty sure we can find samples.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we play it right, we won't even have to worry about being hungry while we're up
there. Oh, no. I'm going to stop eating now, so I got room.
There you go. You know, we'll just take our bib and our you know, hand wipes and everything so that we can get some of it off of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just picturing us running a distraction game, like you run, bump into someone, fall on the ground, and I'll just sneak over and grab some meat.
Yeah, but we better make sure they don't have a gun in their boot or something, you know.
Yeah.
Because that would make some great headlines.
Yeah,
you
find a Texas team, you better duck.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, local radio personality shot-stealing brisket.
And everyone would just be like, yeah, that's justified.
It is. You know, we're just going to have to just let him off this time.
That
was
a man defending his brisket.
Yeah. Shoot low, Sheriff. He's riding to Shetland.
Yep. And so I had one more article here on our topic of sort of the science within barbecue, and this was more or less just kind of a scientific look at barbecue, and it's interesting because the idea is not so much when barbecue started, because we've got a pretty good idea of how that came about, but the idea is when humans experienced the first, or proto-humans even, the first cooked meat, because, you know, why would we have an instinct to cook meat? We just ate what we found, and we usually right. ate it raw. So the idea is that there was probably some, you know, Homo erectus or whatever wandering through the remains of a forest fire, and they smelled something good.
Exactly.
And the idea is that they stumbled upon this meat that they could just grab, and after that, you couldn't stop us. And so they said, The benefit to cooking, it makes it easier for animals to extract the energy from the food. It takes less energy on our part through digestion to get the energy out of it. So the idea of this article, which is from AmazingRibs.com, so it's got a pretty clear bias
right.
on the end of barbecue. So scientifically, there's a bit more to it, but the idea is that humans probably evolved to cook meat because the ones that liked the taste of cooked meat were the ones who got more energy, more nutrition out of it, and therefore just, you know, had a better survival rate. And so they said that meant there were more calories available for larger brains, which of course was an evolutionary advantage. It also took much less time to eat, leaving time to hunt, socialize, and form tribes and communities and procreate. And they talked about how the family circle and tribal structure evolved so that men became hunters and women became the cooks, ergo the first pit masters were probably women.
Well, and you could always tell when they figured out about barbecue. Date back and see those paintings on the walls where they're all dancing around.
Sure.
That's when they discovered there was barbecue how good it was.
And, of course, they're dancing.
Yeah,
but,
you know.
So one of the interesting things about, you know, not just cooking food, because you can just, you know, roast something over a fire.
Right.
But here's where they believe we figured out about smoking. So the idea was that it took a while to cook any significant portion of meat, and you're not just going to sit there holding it over a fire.
Right.
So they would build out of wood, so these sticks, something to hang the meat over.
Yep.
Well, because it's made out of wood, you can't have it that close to the fire, so you have to raise it up, meaning that the meat is farther away from the fire, and so that what's cooking it is the smoke.
Right.
And so that's how they figured that out, and then eventually, obviously, there are certain advantages to smoking. You can preserve things a bit longer and get the meat to where it's not going to spoil. So they believe that, you know, before we had, you know, the direct flame application, which came once we figured out, you know, things like bronze and steel and things.
Right.
Well, I guess not steel, but iron. That simply the fact that we were cooking using wood is how we, more or less by accident, discovered smoking. And thank goodness we did.
Yes. I am happy every day for that fact in more ways than one.
Yeah. So it's interesting to think about how, you know, obviously, if you look at, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, food is pretty much on the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
You need food, shelter, water, those sorts of things. And so when you look at evolution and beyond, you know, anything of the science, it just is whoever survives longer and has more kids is more likely to pass on whatever trait.
Yep.
And even if it's not a genetic trait, even if it's something like, you know, religion or some sort of like philosophy or just an idea. So smoking, you know, if you've got three kids and another dude has five kids, well, that's two more people that are going to carry out whatever. We get real mathematic on the smoke show.
Absolutely. We're down to fine art.
So you imagine that as this sort of wave of thought permeates out through, you know, smoking, not only culturally, but even as a part of our species, is, you know, they say you got barbecue in your blood, you may well have it in your bones.
Well, and a funny, you know, this is kind of, you know, a funny statement, but whatever. The guy back, they said barbecue goes all the way back to George Washington, too, you know.
Yeah.
And so he was one of the lucky ones because supposedly he had wood teeth. So all that sauce would soak into the wood, and later on he could still taste it.
You know? Yeah.
So,
yeah, I imagine
it.
You know what? Why don't they have flavored dentures?
I don't know, but they do. They have came out now with flavored tooth guards, mouth guards.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
You know, so I'm going to get a hold of the guys that are doing this, and I'm going to request, you know, a brisket flavored mouth guard for playing hockey.
Oh yeah.
So, well, guys, it is about time to wrap things up. The Mid-Mo Smoke Show is heard live every Saturday morning from 9 to 10. This show is produced in Mid-Missouri Media Studios in Rolla, Missouri, and engineered by Colin Fisher. Don't forget, you can always listen to a podcast of this show. Just go to our website at ESPN1073.com, click Programming, and The Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Quast, and that was Colin Fisher. Thanks for joining us. Until next week, we'll smoke you later.